This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The great Dan Orlovsky. He doesn't even have to say he's great. We say it for him.
We know.
And we know. Everybody knows. Hey, Dan.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're doing well. So I opened the show confident, almost to a level that annoyed Don and Peter, that the Eagles are going to win tonight and that they will easily cover the 4.5. Your thoughts on tonight's game?
Agree. I actually just made a side bet with a buddy that they're going to cover that 4.5. I think the reality is this, that the Eagles have started to play much better football over the past couple weeks. And if you look at just the matchup of the teams, okay, the weakness of the Giants is offensively, certainly the offensive line. Like, the offensive line sometimes just gets beat up to a point where Daniel has no chance to get rid of the football. Well, the Eagles' strength by far is their defensive line, and their defensive line at times has been dominant this year. And then if you look at it offensively, I think that the Giants' defense is much, much better than people think, but they should have the best player in the field in Carson Wentz. And over the last 3 weeks, he's become – you know, he's no longer the guy that in the first 3 weeks you're going, wait, what are you? Like, how come you're playing so poor? And so he's become a playmaker for them. Fulgham's become a playmaker for them. Hightower's become a playmaker. So even with the injuries, I think the Eagles should win this game because of the defensive line.
Let me ask you about defense before we get onto the quarterbacks and offense. When you see a Giant defense, and I agree with you, I think it's getting better. I think they play much better than people anticipated them to. But my God, they can't get off the field on third down. Does that become a self-fulfilling prophecy, or is there some scheme to it that, like, third and sevens, the offense don't blink to where they're able to convert on that?
Well, third downs is all about people. It's not necessarily about scheme. Like, yeah, you can – I mean, everyone's got a good blitz package in the NFL. You know, the Ravens' blitz package in the NFL is so good because they got Calais Campbell and Patrick Queen and, you know, Brandon Williams pushing the pocket. The Steelers' blitz package is so great because they got T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, right? So, like, or everyone's got a zone scheme that's really good. You know, cover two because Indianapolis has got DeForest Buckner, right? So the Giants don't really have a third down playmaker or a difference maker. They got good players, and their defensive line has got some good players. You know, I can make the argument that Fackrell's their best third down rusher, and he should be a complementary rusher rather than a focal point rusher. And so they don't have anybody that you go, you know what, that guy is heading towards becoming a lockdown cover guy. Bradbury's been good, but he's not a lockdown guy where you say, hey, third down, let's put him a little bit solo and we'll lean coverage another way. So third down is always, whether either side of the ball, it's always about people, and they don't have the people to be difference makers.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of the reasons we wanted to talk to you today, you have been very steadfast in your defense of Sam Darnold. You're seeing stuff, obviously, from a different level than we're seeing it. He has admitted today, I have not done a good job. What makes you think that this guy could be special? Because we have not seen special, Dan.
Well, I think that the reality is this, Mike. Like, if Sam Darnold was coming out of college this year, right? Let's say you guys and the fans never saw Sam Darnold play in the NFL with the disaster that's been around him in the NFL. If he was coming out of the draft in 2021, you would be having the conversation, is it Trevor Lawrence or Sam Darnold? Because the talent level is, like, they both have very unique talent levels. And we've, you know, like, because
Dan, he wasn't the first pick when he came out. They took Baker Mayfield over him.
How does that look right now?
It doesn't look good, but somebody didn't see what you're seeing with Sam.
Right, but my point is that the talent, like, okay, the quarterback position in the NFL right now, nowadays, because it's not 15 or 20 years ago, is you have to be able to be a playmaker. You know, like, you can't just be a guy that you can operate an offense. You've got to be a playmaker, almost like you've got to be able to go and get to the rim, get your own bucket. You can't just be about knocking down the open jump shot that coach schemes up for you. Sam has the ability to do that. He has the skill, the athleticism, the arm talent, the traits, the kind of creative ability. And so I understand that, like, everyone thinks that Sam Darnold can't play. I just fail to believe that he's been given a fair chance to display his talent. I've stayed committed to this. If Sam Darnold was in Baltimore or in Kansas City or in Tennessee or San Francisco, like, the viewpoint on Sam Darnold would be vastly different. And I've said this to a couple people over the past couple weeks. Name the last quarterback that was drafted, say, in like the first 7 or 8 picks that flipped an organization. Like, it's impossible because they're just bad organizations on a consistent basis. Like, the last one is maybe Cam Newton, maybe. And even then, like, that wasn't the ultimate. I think Sam Darnold has all the traits, both physically, mentally, that you would want in a top-tier quarterback.
Okay, so then we need to hear this from you. Everyone seems to sort of be skirted. The experts and former players have not come out and said what it is about Gase and this offense. Are you saying it's just the Jets organizationally, or are you saying it's the lack of play calling and scheming that Gase is doing for Sam? What is Gase doing wrong here?
Okay, hopefully we got a long segment. So it's both, first of all. Like, the organization has absolutely failed Sam Darnold. That is an indisputable fact. You look at what, like, the people he has to play with compared to some of the other young quarterbacks, it's not even remotely close. Now, Adam Gase, okay, so first of all, your number one job as a coach is to understand what your players do well and constantly do that. Like, how many different ways can you get, like, a perfect example, Reggie Wayne. I was with Reggie Wayne in Indianapolis. Reggie was a great player, but he was outstanding at starting and stopping. So Reggie just did a bunch of short ins, press the defensive back 5 yards, settle my feet, cross his face. And then he would run a slant, press him vertically, cross his face. Then he would run a stop route, press him vertically to 9 yards and sit. And he could stop and start. And that's all he did. Like, yes, he sprinkled in some other routes, but, like, he majored in that stuff. How many different ways, motions, formations could they get Reggie to do that stuff? Because the coaches understood he was great at it. Okay, and then your next step as a coach is, what are my players not good at? Like, listen, there's some really good players that just don't do some things well. Like, that's okay. So you've got to figure out what those guys don't do good or that are their weaknesses and never expose them to it. You never expose your players' weaknesses. And I feel like when I watch the Jets, I'm watching them expose their players' weaknesses. They're asking guys to run routes that I can watch 5 times and go, that guy's not a stop guy. You can't get his feet stopped. Or, you know what, that guy does not go over the middle well. Or that guy doesn't set up his routes well. So stop asking him to do it. And then in the NFL right now, or any level of football, if you just break the huddle and line up, you are playing one-handed. You've already given the defense an advantage. Like, their lack of creativity with formations and motions is a joke. I can go down the street and watch high school football, and they will be more in tune to what is at an advantage offensively right now in football, is motions and changing formations at the snap, right before the snap. You just line up and tell the defense, because just like, defenses are smart. Hey, when we line up and they've got that slot receiver Berrios, when he's in the slot and it's 2x2, he's going to run 3 different routes. Great, cool. I got that, coach. Like, I can cover that. Or on 3rd and 3, can we stop running 2- and 3-man pick games? Can we do something else on 3rd and short that other than is a pick game or a rub? Because the defense knows it's coming. Like, there, every fatal flaw that you don't want to make on offense, there's a consistent violation of that.
So Dan, is he just completely and utterly clueless? Or is there a method to the madness? Is this somebody that's trying to sabotage his own team to get the first overall pick, or kind of prove that McCagnan got him bad players? What could be the logic behind that?
Well, I think that I don't think it's the whole sabotage thing, because I don't think he's going to be there, right? But I'd say this, I was with Adam when he was young, so Adam learned under Mike Martz a little bit, which was a stationary offense. And then he obviously learned under Peyton, which was a stationary offense. Now, listen, you can run that stuff when Peyton gets you into the absolute best play. He doesn't get you into good plays or out of bad ones, into the absolute best ones. and you've got Hall of Famers executing those plays. You can run that offense. That's great. That's fine. But they don't have that. And so, like, I've used this analogy many times before. Like, I can go on the internet and, like, on YouTube and go, how to dance. And I could watch a thousand videos trying to learn how to dance. I'm never going to be able to dance. I'm a 6'5", super awkward, lanky white dude. Like, it's just not going to happen for me. Mm. And it's the same with Adam Gase. Like, he could watch tape of all these offenses all he wants. He doesn't know how to teach it. He doesn't know how to, okay, guys, if we get this versus this front, here's the answer. If we get this concept versus this coverage, here's the answer. Or, you know what, how can we build this stuff differently? You can't, like, that. There's just something he doesn't have that ability to kind of take and kind of create and or manipulate to be his own. So it's just copy-paste, copy-paste.
Dan Orlovsky is our guest. Now, I hear everything you're saying, and I'm in agreement, but then Steve Young is on with us every Monday, and Steve said, if you're a great player, you should be able to every now and then shine through an awful situation with bad coaching where you say, I'm taking this on my back and I'm going to do it and I'll show you that I can play better than bad coaching. Why haven't we seen that?
I would argue that we have with Sam. Like, don't you think that we saw that a little bit at the end of last year? And I know the schedule wasn't awesome and the defense played a little bit better. But you don't go and become top five, you know, with your QBR at the end of the year. Just, you don't luck into that. You know, like, you don't just happen to stumble into it. And I can totally understand where Steve is coming from 100%. I see it differently nowadays. I think that the whole quarterback elevates everybody around him thing is a little bit of a thing from the past. You know, like, yes, quarterbacks had to elevate guys differently because the rules were different, and the understanding of space on the field was different, and the spread of an offense was different. Nowadays, I think it's more the people around the quarterback elevate the quarterback. Like, has Josh Allen become this incredibly different player than he was 2 years ago, or do they go get a number one receiver and Stephon Diggs, and then they get a really good tight end and Knox, and has their offensive line improved? Like, yes, he's made some improvements. But you don't go from how did this kid become a top 10 pick to an MVP candidate in 3 years strictly because you grinded on your footwork, you know, like, and so, like, I can understand and respect where Steve is coming from. But if you look at all the good quarterbacks in the NFL, look at all of them right now, they all have incredible pieces around them. There's not a single quarterback that is balling, does not have really good pieces. A perfect example is last week in Green Bay and Tampa Bay. Aaron Rodgers did not have his number two receiver, and it was a huge deal. Alan Lazard not playing was a huge deal. Because of the rules, because of space and spread and the understanding of it, the people around the quarterback elevate the quarterback more so than the quarterback elevates those people.
All right, in closing, in about a minute, I got to ask you the question that we ask everybody then. The Jets have a chance to go 0-16, Dan. They have a chance to pick Trevor Lawrence. If you're running the Jets, are you picking Trevor Lawrence and trading Sam?
I am. The only way, you know, Trevor Lawrence is remarkable. I had the Clemson game this past weekend. His physical ability is as good, if not better, than Andrew Luck's. But his intangibles, his awareness, and his leadership is better than the physical talent. The only thing that I could caveat it with is if Joe Douglas sits there and goes, you know what, I actually think Sam Darnold is going to be a great player, and someone like the Jags come off for him, 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, you know, like something like that where you go, man, I can improve our football team really quickly, fast. But other than that, I would say that it's almost a no-brainer that Trevor Lawrence, and it's the best thing that happened to Sam Darnold, that Trevor Lawrence would be the first pick.
And then they could get rid of him to a better team.
100%. He would go, Pittsburgh would come with the first rounder, Indy would come with the first rounder, San Francisco could come with the first rounder. I mean, there's going to be multiple teams willing to go give up their late first round pick for Sam.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
we appreciate it.
Have a good afternoon, guys. Be well.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.